Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Welcome to Promised Land, all of you, all of you. Glad that you're here. And to those that are watching online this morning, could not make it to the building, we know you're with us in spirit. So we welcome you to the worship experience here. And we believe that God is with you wherever you are right now. Some of you are listening online to a podcast. Some of you are watching live right now at home. Wherever you might be at work, we pray God is with you. And don't forget to give online today. Amen. All right, that was just a little pastoral throw out there. All right, to everybody that's in the place, we love you guys and thankful to have you here. We're here. Let's have some church, all right? Come on now. I wore the red pants and everything. So I want to preach to you this morning, teach, exhort, talk, whatever you want to call it. A message called Three Baptisms. Somebody say Three Baptisms. This is a map sort of a day. Man, how many of y'all know what it's like to be in the mall? Your wife took off without you. You're lost. And you get to the map finally. And you look for that one little spot, the star or the little marker that says, you are here. Very helpful, right? I've actually gotten mad at a map before because it did not have that on there. How can I go anywhere if I don't know where I am right now, if I don't see what the path is? So today is a foundational message. It is a message that some of y'all have heard before. It's one that we do every few years just to make sure everybody's on the same page, because we have a ton of people that are new, not just new to Promised Land, but new to the faith, new to God, new to Christianity. So three baptisms, we're going to walk through this little map here. And I want everybody here, you're going to have to determine where you are as we go throughout this map. I think it's going to become more clear as we go through it. When you look at the Christian calendar and see how Christian celebrations or events fall on the calendar January through December, there's several significant ones. I'm sure you all know Christmas, December 25th, right? Christmas is a big day on the Christian calendar because it is the celebration of what? The birth of Jesus. Why is that important? It's like a small group today, so y'all can just go ahead and participate with. Yes, the fact that God became a man, the fact that he came to this earth. We call it the Advent. It's the coming. It is the arrival of God in the form of man, the Son of Man to come, Son of God to come to the earth and actually participate in the earth on its own level. So that's the Christmas season. We celebrate that. Then there is Passover and Easter and resurrection. That happens in the springtime. And what is that for? Y'all, Easter is for what? The resurrection, the death on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of who? Jesus. Come on, people. Let's get alive here. Come on. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of who?
Jesus.
Yes. Come on. I know all y'all online are shouting loud, so I can hear you. Thank you. So Passover is first, and then Jesus goes to his death, his burial, and then the resurrection on the third day after Jesus was buried. And then there is another celebration called Pentecost Sunday, which is occurring a week from today. And many of y'all are not aware of that. It's one that's not near as popular in some church circles as Christmas and Easter. But Pentecost Sunday is a significant, significant event. And I want to share with you today three baptisms that sort of coincide with those three events on the church calendar. And I want to go back in time to kind of lay the groundwork. So a little history lesson here for a few minutes. Passover is something that has been celebrated for over 3,000 years. It goes much further back than Christian calendar. It goes into the Jewish calendar, and it goes about 1,500 years before Jesus. And so that's when Passover started. Passover is when the Israelites were in Egypt and God was delivering them from slavery and delivering them from Egypt and sending them to their new home, the promised land. And in order to exit out of Egypt, God had to have a supernatural event happen. And so he told them to kill a lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost. And everybody that had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over their house. And no one in their house would be affected by the death. If you did not have the blood of the lamb on your doorpost of your house, the death angel would come and death that night would hit your household. So from that point forward, the Israelites have celebrated Passover. They celebrate the fact that God delivered them from Egypt. They celebrate the fact that death passed over their home. So then they exited out of Egypt and they went into the desert. And 50 days after Passover, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. And God sends to Moses what's called the law. Can y'all all say the law?
Law.
All right. Yes, the law. This was passed down 50 days after the Passover. This is the Ten Commandments and many more commandments besides those 10. And God gave them the law to help them. And so they celebrate the fact that God gave them the law with a feast called the Feast of Weeks. And the Greek term for the Feast of Weeks or that celebration is called Pentecost. So the Jews celebrated Passover every spring, and then they would celebrate the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, which was the fact that God gave the law to them. Every year, they would celebrate that. I want you to see what happens. This is pretty powerful. I want you to look. Some of you have never heard this possibly. I want to fast forward to Jesus' day. And Jesus' Jewish community was celebrating Passover and Pentecost. When Jesus goes into Jerusalem and he is facing his death and he is arrested, it just so happens that it takes place during what? Passover. Yes. When Jesus goes in and this is his final days, and he's about to be crucified. It's not luck. It's not irony. It's not happenstance. It was ordained by God. It happened during Passover week that Jesus goes into Jerusalem and he faces his death. And the reason why that happened is because Jesus was the ultimate Passover lamb. Because of Jesus' death, because of the blood shed by Jesus, for the fact that he gave his life, his blood was shed for the sins, not just of the Israelites, but for the sins of the entire world. Jesus gave his life. And so now we understand that if we put our faith and our trust in that lamb, that we have life with God forever and ever and ever. The death angel passes over us. Because of what Jesus has done, death has been defeated. Now look at this. 50 days after Jesus went to the cross, this was Passover week. So 50 days after Jesus went to the cross, what was coming up? Pentecost. Yeah. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. So when Jesus went to the cross and he died in the grave and he resurrected, 50 days from that point was the normal time to celebrate Pentecost. So this is what happened in that particular year when they celebrated the celebration of Feast of Weeks, the celebration of Pentecost. Jesus told his disciples in Acts, the first chapter, the fourth verse, go to Jerusalem and wait during the Pentecost celebration because something very unique and different is going to happen this year during a Pentecost celebration. God's going to send something to you and it's going to be much better than the law. Can I get an amen on that one? So he tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait because God is going to send to them the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is going to be present with them. Acts 2:1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, on the day of Pentecost, the day that they were celebrating the law coming to them, all of a sudden, they are there on the day of Pentecost. All the believers, somebody say all. The reason I'm telling y'all to repeat things over and over is because y'all aren't doing it. So I'm warming you up. And as soon as we have 100% participation, it will be over, okay? Y'all want to try one more time? Somebody say all. Okay, no more. I'm not going to do it again. All the people were sitting there. Verse 2, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like tongues or flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present. Robin, say everyone. Everyone. I was just telling me to say that. Y'all didn't have to do that. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages or other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So we continue to this day to celebrate Pentecost in this church and many churches across the world. We're not celebrating the day that the law was given to us, but we're celebrating the fact that God's Holy Spirit is present and available for everybody in the world. His Spirit is present. And so we're going to recognize that. We're going to celebrate that. We're starting a week early. Because actually, technically, it's next Sunday. But to be baptized by God, to be, and that word baptized, when you go to the original Greek word, it's pronounced baptizo, to immerse, submerge, or overwhelm. I love that. I love that word, overwhelm. To be baptized, to be overwhelmed, to be immersed, to be submerged. It is a fully underneath whatever it is experience. And that's why in our church, when we water baptize, we symbolize that by going all the way under the water to celebrate and to make that significant, that it is an immersion. You're overwhelmed by that water. So here are three baptisms. I want to talk to you today about three baptisms that come to us in Scripture. And take some notes today. And as we go through this, I want you to see in your own heart where God is and where He is calling you and where possibly how much more He has for you. So the first baptism is what I'm calling the baptism of salvation. Baptism of salvation. Some of you may not have considered salvation a baptism, but I want us to start thinking about salvation overwhelming you. I want you to start thinking about salvation completely immersing you. We are immersed in the Father's love. You are overwhelmed by the grace of God. You are humbled and brought to your knees in repentance. Your response to God in salvation, your response to God's love and His grace is emotional, it's psychological, it's spiritual, it's really a baptism. When you come to know the love of God. Have you ever had the feeling, you know what the feeling's like. You know the feeling when you're talking to somebody and you don't want to talk to them. Y'all know the feeling, y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, it's church, let's be honest in here. You're talking to someone, and you're like, I need to get away right now. I need to find an exit strategy. So we're talking to someone. They are driving you crazy. Maybe they're hitting on you. Maybe they're just taking up all your time. Maybe you're not able to say anything. And then a friend of yours that's close by sees the situation. They come to your aid and they grab you by the arm and say, hey, we're late, we gotta go. And they save you. and you say, thank you. You saved me from that. Y'all are like, you're an awful pastor. How could you ever? You're thinking back to conversations I've had with you right now. And did he really have to go? Did that? Let me tell you the good news of Jesus. While you're living your life and it's messing you up one side and down the other, Jesus comes and takes you by the arm and saves you from depression. Jesus comes up beside you and grabs your arms and whisks you away and saves you from fear. He saves you from that. Oh, man, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from that. Jesus is eager to be the friend that steps in and saves you from a lifetime of wandering around. And Jesus is ready to help set you up in his kingdom forever. And save you not just from this temporal depression and this worldly fear, but God is ready to whisk you away so that you could spend an eternity with him in the new heavens and the new earth, ruling and reigning with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the baptism of salvation. When Jesus saves you, he saves your life and he whisks you away. When you knew nothing of God and when you had no idea, when you were lost in your own selfishness and you were lost in your own lifestyle and living that, he came for you. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because he came for you. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you were saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Is not from works so that one can boast. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We often call Abraham the father of our faith. It goes back thousands of years ago. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, Jewish race. He's also the father of the Christian faith as well. Going preceding all of the apostles and disciples. Ephesians 3:5 says, does he who supplies the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Look at this, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He's asking a question. He's saying, do you believe that you are connected to God and right with God and right standing with God because of the things that you've done? Or do you think it's because you have believed in God? You've trusted in God. You've put your faith in God. And so what this, another translation of this says that Abraham was righteous because of his faith. He was counted as righteous because of his faith. So here we are today, 2015, raining outside. And by the way, we have people checking the weather and the bridge. So if something happens, we're all going to bail out of here, okay? Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Abraham was counted righteous with God because of his faith. Here we are today, 2015. Same thing. We are baptized into salvation with Jesus because of our faith and our trust in the work of God. When we say to Jesus, yes, yes, you are my Lord, yes, you are my Savior, there is something that happens in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm of your life and of the world, that something changes and you are connected to God in a way that you hadn't been before. This is an immersion. This is an overwhelming situation. So those of you that are married will relate to this. And those of that you aren't, this is good information. So get ready. When you're married, there's a lot of different things that are involved in the ceremony of the wedding. So you've got vows and rings and songs and the license and the cake, and the dancing, the party, all that. You've got sexual relationship. You've got living together. You got having kids. You've got buying a house. You got all these things that are associated with a marriage. They're great things. They're good things. They're important things. But something that you don't realize is that there's only one thing that marries you. Early on in the church, when I was just getting started, did a marriage ceremony, wedding ceremony, and while it was going, it seemed to be going fine, and then I got a call a day later on Sunday afternoon, said, "Pastor, please do not turn that wedding license in, marriage license in. I've changed my mind." This is the bride called me. "I've changed my mind. Nothing happened last night. We're fighting, you know, just the whole thing. Like, just please annul it, forget it, throw it in the trash. Don't." So I was like, okay, this is weird to me. I've never heard of this. I don't know what to do with this. And I was thinking about just chunking it, but then something told me, you need to call and see, be accountable to this. So I called the county office here at Hayes County, talked to the lady there in the office, and she asked me one question. She said, "Did you hear them say their vows to each other?" I said, "Yeah." "And you pronounced them husband and wife?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, they're married. The license is just a formality after the case." And people say that to me all the time. Like, after they get married, they're all excited. "Okay, we got to sign the license now. Make it official." No, actually, you made it official already. And all I got to do is I just got to sign it and turn it in. But it's a done deal already. And so this is the same thing that happens in our relationship with God. There's a lot of other things that are connected. But this one is so important. When we say our vow to God, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I put my trust in you as my Savior. I'm going to quit looking to myself. I'm going to quit looking to my spouse or my money or my education or my track record or my future or my bank account or the kind of car I drive or my success. Whatever it is, I'm going to look to you, Jesus, for everything. We're saved." The second baptism is a baptism in water. Baptism in water. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is a huge, huge text here. Jesus is telling them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." This is talking about water baptism. "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you till the end of the age." This is what we call the Great Commission. What it's meaning is, as you go about your life, make disciples and baptize them. Baptize them in water. This is the Great Commission. Romans 6:3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" This is talking about the second baptism, water baptism. If you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death. "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So number two, water baptism into Christ, we identify with the death, the burial, that's all the way in, submerged under the water, that's the burial, and as Jesus came out of the grave, so we come out of that water, a symbol of the resurrection. This is our first, water baptism is our first public display of affection for our relationship with God. This is when we go public with our relationship with God. We say, "God, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. This is not a private thing anymore. I'm going public with this. I want everybody to know that you are my Lord, that you are my Savior." When you have faith, everybody listen to me right here. When you have faith in Jesus, that he is your Lord and your Savior, and you get in that water and you're baptized into Christ, into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something happens in the spirit inside of you. Your spirit, little s, lowercase s spirit, connects with his uppercase S spirit. There's a spiritual connection that happens in the water, in water baptism, not because of the water, not because of the pastor, not because of the clothes you wear, not because even anything, but because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is what makes all the difference in the world. physically getting into the water and physically being dumped into the water, dipped into the water, does not change you if you don't first have faith in God. If you don't trust in Jesus as your Savior and you're baptized, you're simply going in a sinner and you're coming out a wet sinner. Can I get an amen on that? The water doesn't save you. It is not magical. It's not doing anything to you. It is because you have faith in God first that faith turns into obedience. Obedience says, I will get in the water. This is weird to me. I don't understand it all. I don't understand how this, why does getting in the water do anything? It's just simply you obeying what God has told you to do. Get in the water. Okay. So you're dipped into the water of baptism very quickly. You hold your nose. The pastor will dip you in quickly. Today, we could just walk outside. All right. We could just say in Jesus' name, walk out to your car, possibly. Kidding. You're dipped in water. You have faith in Jesus. You have faith in Jesus for salvation. You're identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. In the Old Testament, they would baptize all the time. They had, if you, when you go over to Israel, you can see the landscape there. As they're digging up the ruins of Israel, you can see at the beginning of the entrance of the different synagogues and the temple there, especially the temple in Jerusalem, there are tons of baptistries all around. That's because every time they would go to worship in the temple, they would baptize. They would always baptize. In fact, some of the wealthy people had baptistries at their house. Before they would go in to pray, they would baptize themselves every time they would want to have a relationship with God, every time they would go to worship. But look at this. Since Jesus came, and our baptism is into Jesus, you don't have to baptize yourself every time you come to church or every time you go to work or every time you go anywhere. You only need to be baptized one time because the blood of Jesus is enough for everything that's going on in your life. One time you go under the name of Jesus Christ into the water, you're baptized. This is the second baptism. If you have not been baptized in the water as a believer, maybe you got baptized as a kid, you didn't know what was going on. Why don't you get rebaptized today? Why don't you get rebaptized next Sunday, sometime? Some of you may have got baptized because all your friends were getting baptized when you were a teenager. Hey, youth camp, we're all getting baptized. Let's go get, yeah. You hadn't put your faith in God yet. We believe in, this is a believer's baptism. You believe in Jesus, go, as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, immediately go get baptized. But there's no need in getting baptized if you don't trust in Jesus. Because no matter how big we make of this baptism thing, like how important it really is, if we force you or make you or think that it's going to change you or whatever, and you don't trust in Jesus, it's worthless. Oh, this is good stuff. All right, let's go to the third baptism because that's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. Could y'all give me a little more mic in here? I'll stop yelling if that's the case. The third baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have been baptized into salvation. You know Jesus. You've received the love of the Father. You have come to know forgiveness in Jesus, repentance. And some of you have been water baptized. You've been fully immersed in water as a believer. But you have not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Some of you say, wait a minute. I thought that was just an automatic. I thought that just happened. Well, let's look at some scriptures here today. John 1:32. This is John the Baptist talking. John bore witness. He said, I saw the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. It remained on him. It remained. That's a huge word right there. You can circle, underline. It remained on him. I myself did not know him. In other words, John the Baptist, he grew up with Jesus. He couldn't understand how vast and how powerful Jesus was. He knew Jesus as his cousin. He knew Jesus as his friend. But he's saying, I did not know him as the Savior of the world, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain. This is the key. This is key right here. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and stay, remain. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So this is the identifying factor that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God because the Spirit is descended on him and is staying. It's not going anywhere. And he, in turn, is going to baptize all of us with that same Holy Spirit. Verse 34, I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, up until this time, David and Samson and Elijah and the prophets, the Spirit would touch them, the Spirit would rest on them, but it would not remain on them. In fact, you see them fall, and you see them do all kind of mess, and they go and come and go. But Jesus brings on a new era. The Holy Spirit is accessible to everybody everywhere. Acts 1 and 4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Lacey, we need to get out of here. Where are you? Save us. All right, I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to close, and we're going to send you home. But this is the main thing I want you to realize. He's still alive and well back there? All right, awesome. This is good news. You've been saved from your sin. You don't have to live in that sinful, awful lifestyle anymore. God has saved you from that. He's saved you from that. He's took you by the arm. He's brought you away from that. But he doesn't want just take you to an empty room now and you just wait for the end of your life or the end of the world. So he saves you from the mess. He pulls you out of the dirt and the sin and the mistakes that you've made. He saves you. He pulls you out. He saved, y'all get the picture. But he doesn't want you just to stay at a neutral ground. That's not his intent. He wants to then baptize you with his Holy Spirit. And there's a great passage in the book of Acts that talks about how this baptism is something that is subsequent to your faith in God. So on the day of Pentecost, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit making himself known to them, and they could feel him. They could touch him. It changed their life. They began to speak in another language. They had cloven tongues as a fire upon their head. I mean, this is a supernatural event that happened. And the good news to you today is that it is present and ready. God is ready to baptize you with the same Spirit. The same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. Now, some of you thought, well, I just thought I always had the Holy Spirit when I confessed with my mouth and believe in my heart I'm saved. I thought I just had the Spirit of God. I want to tell you right now, the Spirit of God is working in your heart. Yes. You would not even know God if the Holy Spirit was not working in your heart. Yes. The Holy Spirit is working in your life, but there is a baptism of the Spirit that comes into your heart and into your life that is unique and different from your confession of faith and that work of the Spirit in your life. Acts, the 19th chapter and the first verse, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe, he asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Some of you may be in that position here today. You didn't even know that that was something that God could baptize you with. It's a new overwhelming. It's a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 3, well, then what baptism did you experience, he asked. And they replied, the baptism of John the Baptist. And Paul says, oh my goodness, this is what happened. These were some awesome believers because they went out evangelizing before Jesus had even completed the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection. They had already gone out and didn't even realize all the things. I mean, there was no texting, no email, no Facebook back in those days. So this is Paul coming to them and saying, you cannot believe what all has happened. and you need to be baptized into Jesus. You need to be baptized into him, and now you're going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance of sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized into the name of, now that's so awesome. They weren't like, hey, wait, we've been doing this for years. I think we're going to just hang out with what we got right here. This is pretty good. They weren't bitter. They weren't religious. They weren't stuck in their ways. When they saw Paul and they knew that he was a man of God, they said, okay, if you're saying this is what God has for me, we're ready. We're ready. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Some of you say, like, a prophet? Are you, like, to prophesy, to speak in another language? Like, all that's so impossible. Miracles, healings, signs, wonders, these kind of things. What are you talking? There's no way. Yeah, that's true. No way you can do that. That's out of your power. That's out of your ability. But when you're baptized with the power of God, not just a baptism of confession of faith and believing in your heart, but a baptism of his Holy Ghost is going to come into your life. It can happen as you're being prayed for by someone like this. Someone lay hands on you, pray for you to receive the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It can happen to you in many other ways. Sometimes people receive this gift while they're just listening to music, worshiping in their car, praying at home, at work, at a small group. We have people receive the power of the Holy Spirit in small group meetings, in homes, and living rooms, and prayer meetings, anywhere. God is not limited by size or quantity. Lacey doesn't have to be playing on the piano. Believe it or not, you can get the Holy Ghost wherever, because it's all about God. It's all about you just saying, Lord, if there's more for me, I want it. Lord, if you got something more for me, I want it. Now, how are you going to know what's going to happen? Well, God's going to make himself known to you, and it's going to feel awesome. It's going to feel amazing. It's emotional. It's psychological. It's spiritual. It's physical. It's something that's amazing. We're going to do some more teaching on this, when the weather clears up in a few weeks. So come on back. We're going to do some more teaching on this, some signs, some outward signs that you know that God's Spirit is in you and living in you and breathing in you. But this is how I want to send you off today. More of you, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet with me today? More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Would you just say that to him right now? More of you, Jesus. I don't know where you are on that map today. I don't know where you are on that map today. We're all in different spots. Some of you are standing here today and you've yet to really put your trust and your faith in God. Today's the day of salvation. Today, God is calling you to come to him, to be his child, to love on you. In Jesus' name, Father. There's people here today that have not taken the step of water baptism. God, I pray that you will give them the open door to get water baptized. Lord, to not wait, not put it off, not try to figure it out too much. Just put our trust and our faith in you and start obeying with small steps. Let baptism just be the first of many. Be the first of many, God. We pray in Jesus' name. God, I also am believing that there's some folks here today that are eager for your Spirit. Lord, a new outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. We don't have to just wait once a year and go into the temple. We don't have to just wait for some sporadic, irregular outpouring of your Spirit, God. We are believing today, God, we can receive your Spirit right now, right here, in the name of Jesus, God. We are open to you, Father. We are desiring and ready for your Holy Spirit to come into our life and make a supernatural difference, God. Where we seem to not be able to make it, we fall short, we make mistakes, we have things in our life that are not healthy or not right. God, we're praying today for an outpouring of your Spirit to make all the difference in the world, to make all the difference that we ever need, God. Some people in the place here today that you've been baptized, but you've walked away, you've strayed from God, and you've walked out from under his covering. Come on back today. Receive the Lord today. Receive the power of His Spirit today and see what it can do to your life. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands to Him right now. Amen.